Good morning, everybody. We got some folks that are visiting with us. I see some new faces out there. We just want to say to you that you are our honored guest, and we're so happy that you've decided to join us today for our worship time together. Just a word or two about some events that have happened in the lives of some of our members here, just to make you aware if you have not already heard or missed it somehow. Our sympathies extended to Sharon Cox in the passing of her mother, Mildred Tedford, and also our sympathy is extended to the Edwards family who are traveling for the funeral for our own Exie Dadisman, who passed away in the last couple of days, and so we express our sympathy there. And also, we're happy to announce that Landon James, the son of Hannah Brock, has made his arrival, but it was a rocky arrival and had a little bit of difficulty there, had to spend some time in the NICU, but it looks like everything is progressing good, and so we're happy to let you know that this morning. But please be praying for all of these families during these monumental life moments for their families. Okay, so as far as the sermon is concerned, are you ready? Everybody ready for the sermon? Anybody? Okay. Any takers for a sermon this morning? We're wrapping up our series called God's New People. And so if you're a guest this morning or if you've been out some, let me just kind of tell you what this is. We've been trying to walk our way through Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, which is a sermon that is very similar, but it seems to be a different occasion and in an abbreviated form, what you most likely are familiar with, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. That's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, but this is in Luke chapter 6. And so we've been trying to see what Jesus is really getting at in this sermon, and I've proposed the thought that what he's getting at is that he wants to create in this world a new people that live by choice a completely different type of life, what we're calling a countercultural kingdom lifestyle. And we've been kind of challenged by Jesus, haven't we, to really kind of look at the way we do life and kind of the attitudes that we have and the behaviors that we engage in, and really kind of what is at the heart of all of that. And so this morning, we're wrapping that whole series up. And by the way, if you're in a small group, you'll join your small group today to discuss this more fully as how we live it out. But today we wrap up in the final section of the sermon. Jesus drives the whole sermon home with a punch, and he gets right down to it in a very familiar section that you probably know by heart, or at least can sing it. But I just wonder sometimes if we've made such fun out of these verses that we miss just how convicting and serious that what Jesus says is in the conclusion of this sermon. All right, so before we actually get to it, I want to introduce the thought this way. Okay, so this is a heavy question. Are you ready for a heavy question? This is heavy. What are you doing with your life? Really now. What are you doing with your life? There are a lot of different things you can do with your life. You can spend your life on things. You can use up your life just consumed with media, being, you know, a news hound, being a Facebook addict. You can spend the days of your life consumed in books and magazines and popular media. You can spend your life away at the theater or at the stadium. Or you can spend your life at the mall shopping, getting the newest gadget or the newest fashion. You can spend your life on the golf course and spend it there on the links, hacking away at that little white ball. Now, don't misunderstand. Nothing wrong with any of these things. But the question is, what are you doing with your life? Are you just spending it? Or are you building a life? Are you being intentional about the life you've been given and what you're trying to build out of it? Now, you can build a lot of things in your life. You can build, spend a lot of energy and time building building your body. You could be somebody that is a bodybuilder who spends a lot of time, you know, wanting to be in shape and building muscle mass and focused on your body index and all of that stuff. You can be a bodybuilder, or you could be a career builder where your focus is on climbing the corporate ladder and getting the next opportunity and moving up in your job. Or you could be a nest builder where, you know, what's most important to you is building a really nice home for your family and kind of creating a space where your family is safe and your family enjoys being together, and you could spend a lot of energy building your nest. Or you could be a wealth builder and your focus is on making sure that you have enough set aside to be comfortable in your older years. You could be a bodybuilder or a wealth builder or a nest builder. You could be any of these things, and none of them in and of themselves are necessarily wrong, but here's the thing. None of that stuff's going to last. In the final analysis, all of that is going to be swept away. And you and I are going to be left in the end asking, what did I really do with my life? Did I do something meaningful? Did I build something that will last? What are you doing with your life? There's only one thing that's going to last, and that's God's kingdom. And you say, well, what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is His purpose for your life, why He put you here. And at the end of the day, when all is said and done, have you invested in the things that will last? What have you been building? How have you been building? That's what Jesus is challenging us with in the conclusion of this sermon, where he kind of addresses the fact that everybody is building on some kind of foundation, and here at the end he says you should build on a foundation that is substantive, that will outlast everything else. Listen to what he says. This is Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came and the torrent struck that house, but it couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Now, Jesus here in the conclusion of this sermon is saying, I'm trying to build a new people in this world. A people that have a focus of building a life that matters. A life that will outlast everything else. And so the question that Jesus is challenging you and me with is, are we truly being God's new people? And how that question is answered for you and me is, what am I doing with my life? What am I really, how am I really building my life? What is its true foundation based upon? I want you to look real closely at what Jesus says in these verses, because I think for too long we've completely misunderstood the thrust of what Jesus is saying. He is not saying that there are two different kinds of people, those who listen to the words of Jesus and those who don't. He is not saying that there are two different kinds of people, religious people and irreligious people, believers in God and atheists. That's not what he's saying. He is describing here two types of disciples. Two types of disciples. If you look at the beginning of the sermon, the people he's specifically talking to when he begins this sermon is, it says he looks at his disciples. He is talking to Christ followers, to church-going folks. He's talking to you and me. And he's saying, among my followers, there are two kinds of disciples, two kinds of people that claim to follow me. Now notice, there are similarities between these two types of disciples, and there are differences between these two types of disciples. You ready? Notice first the similarities. He says there are similarities between both of these kinds of followers of Jesus, these two kinds of people that acknowledge Jesus and follow him and are building a life. So the question is, what kind of builder am I? Well, both of the builders have similar things about them. First of all, he says both of them call him Lord. Both of these builders say, Lord, Lord. Believe in Jesus' identity. Know that Jesus is the Son of God and the Redeemer of the world. And in some sense, at least, have acknowledged his lordship. Both disciples do this. Both kinds. Secondly, both of these kinds of disciples are building a house. Now, the idea of house here is talking about what are you doing with your life, the kind of life you're living. And he says both of these kinds of disciples are both building a house. And that is, both of them, if you look at them from the outside, if you don't really know what's going on inside of their lives, if you look at both these disciples, it seems that both of them pretty well have their house in order. Good moral people. Church-going folks. Believers in God. Both of these disciples from the outside look essentially the same. Thirdly, both of these disciples hear Jesus' words. Did you notice that? He says, when he describes both of them, he says, they hear my words. So here are folks, both of these disciples know God's law. They know the scripture. They know what Jesus was teaching. And both of them, both kinds of disciples, experience the storm. One is not exempt from the storm, and the other experiences. Both of them experience the storm. So notice that. He's talking about two different kinds of people. He says, they both call me Lord. They both build a house. They're putting their life together. Both of them hear my words, acknowledge my teaching, and both experience the storm. But what's the difference? There are significant differences between the two builders. First of all, he says, one of them is building wisely, and the other is foolish. One is building a wise life, the other is building a foolish life. Now, what could Jesus mean when he uses these descriptors? I think he's saying, some of us that believe in Jesus, know his God's law, call him Lord, we're just going through life kind of on autopilot. Just letting life happen to us. Not being intentional. Whereas he says the wise disciple doesn't approach life in such a haphazard and foolish way. The wise disciple is intentional about deciding, what kind of life am I going to build? I'm not just going to let life happen. I'm going to plan, be deliberate, be intentional, and build a life that is substantive and meaningful. Secondly, the difference is one of these builders hears the words of Jesus. The foolish one hears. So does the wise one. But what makes the wise builder wise and the foolish builder foolish? The wise builder actually puts into practice what he hears Jesus saying. So he says there's two types of disciples. Both of them hear the same sermon. Both of them leave out and tell the preacher, good job, good sermon, I appreciate that sermon. But one of them, after leaving the doors of the church building, so to speak, does nothing with the teaching. And the other takes a hard look at himself or herself and says, I need to make some course correction. I need to implement that teaching practically in my life in such a concrete way that it actually impacts and changes the way I treat people, the devotion I have to God, the attitude or demeanor of my life is altered because I'm implementing and practicing what Jesus teaches. Thirdly, and this is big, there's a little bit of a variation here in Jesus' sermon, because in Matthew's account, Jesus seems to focus on the location of where the two are building, that one builds on a rock and one builds on the sand. But in Luke's version, Jesus, in this occasion of the sermon, gives a little different spin on it, and he doesn't really focus on the location, but he focuses on the manner of the building. He says the wise person digs deep, and the foolish one builds their life on surface things. You're just staying on the surface. But the wise person is digging deep to build a foundation on something that is much deeper than just surface experiences of life. You see, that's a little bit wiser and more intentional. And here's what happens. When the storm comes to both of these disciples, the one that dug deep and founded their life on something substantive and meaningful and deliberate is able to withstand the storms and the wind and the rain, whereas the person who was just going through life in a very surface way has not built a life on something meaningful, but instead on the surface, and therefore the storm collapses that person's life, and the destruction, he says, is total ruin. Now, let's get real practical here. What does that mean? What does that look like for you and me? It means this. The foolish disciple is the person who ignores their foundation. What do you mean ignores the foundation? The best way I know to explain it is like this. We, all of us, live our lives in at least two realms. The one realm that we live in is what some would call our public life. My public life is the life that you see from the outside. It's the life that is my job and my responsibilities and my obligations. And my public life, my outer life, it's not a real good way of describing it, but it's the best I know. My outer life or my public life always screams for my immediate attention. So, if I ignore the fact that I have bills to pay, that's my outer life, then there's going to be consequences. I may be evicted, or I may lose my house. Therefore, my attention is very much focused on those obligations and responsibilities, because I know if I neglect it, there will be consequences to pay. So I can't neglect it. So my attention tends to be on those things in life that are visible on the surface. And I spend a lot of energy, a lot of time building my house on those surface things that demand my attention. And I can't neglect them. But here's what happens. There's another part of my life, which you might call, in your life, which we might call my private world, my inner life. This is the part of me that is the real core, the spiritual core of who I am as a person. This is where I devote myself to prayer and fasting. This is the part of me where I meditate on spiritual things and I'm involved in my prayer life with God and connection with Him and meditation and contemplation and study and introspection and feeding the actual spiritual core of the person that I am. Now here's the thing though. That core is not readily visible to you. Because it's like the foundation. It's down deep. It's either there or it's not. And so all the things on the surface in my public world that demand my attention and my focus, I cannot neglect those because I know there'll be consequences. But here's the thing. I can neglect my private spiritual core for a while, and I don't seem to be any worse off for it. Life still goes on. The bills are paid. The kids are fed. My marriage is okay. And it doesn't seem like there's any ill effect because I haven't really devoted myself to prayer or study or connection with God. It seems like I'm okay. But here's what happens. When the storm comes and the pressures of life start mounting on top of you, and you start feeling the strain and the stress of all of the demands and responsibilities on the surface, if you have neglected the foundation underneath, guess what happens? That's when your whole life will collapse. It will implode. Because you can't handle the weight of the things on the surface because you've neglected the spiritual inner core of yourself. And so it's what one writer calls the sinkhole syndrome. You know, a sinkhole is something, you know, we'll build roads and buildings and things, and if we've not paid very careful attention, there could be an underwater, river or stream or cavern, and we've built all this building and roads on the surface, and it seems to be okay for a long time until the storms come, until the pressure is too much, and then all of a sudden, total collapse, because there wasn't sufficient foundation underneath to hold up the strain of the things on the surface. So this, what happens here is if I've neglected my inner core, if I've neglected my foundation and I've just been building on the surface and I've not been digging deep and maintaining and building the substance of who I am, that's when you have a nervous breakdown. That's whenever you have an implosion of self. That's whenever you get to the end of your rope and you say, I just can't do it anymore. And it's not necessarily because of the surface circumstances. Because the storms come to both disciples. But the wise disciple is able to stand. Why? Because he didn't ignore, or she didn't ignore, the foundation. And so when the storms come, the house stands. But you see, foolish disciples ignore that reality, whereas wise disciples recognize the need to maintain and build that deep foundation. Your life and mine, here's the truth. Your life will only be as strong as the foundation that you build. It's just true. And wise disciples will build and dig deep on that foundation, not just on the surface. So, I want to get immensely practical now and say, all right, what are some ideas, what are some takeaways that you and I can leave with today to say, well, what can I do to build a strong foundation of the inner spiritual core of who I am? Because the storms are coming. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And if you wait around until the storm comes, it's too late to build the foundation. I mean, when there's a flood happening, you can't get out there and be digging in the dirt and the mud and say, oh, I better build a strong foundation. Oh, it's too late then. And I see it all the time. I mean, I see people all the time that come to me, and the shepherds of this church have people, ministers have people come to them all the time. And they've come to the place where the storm is raging. And it's then that they say, oh, I need to get back in church, or I need to get back in my prayer life, or I need to do this or do that because I know the storm is here. And they're out there in the mud and the rain trying to build a foundation. And many times you've waited too long. Look at the difference between Job and his wife. You want to talk about people that experienced a storm? And both of them believe in God. They're both disciples, as it were, but one's wise and one's foolish. Because when the storm came and took away everything that the Jobs had, the job, the health, the family, Job had spent significant time devoting himself in the secret places of his life to building his spiritual core. God recognized it, because in the early chapters of Job, God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He hates things that are evil, and he seeks after me. And I know his core, I know his heart, I know his foundation. Satan calls it into question and says, no, he's just building on the surface. God says, nope, you can test him. You can bring the storm, and I promise you, he will stand because I know his foundation. And guess what? When it's all taken away, Job says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whereas his wife says, Job, you should curse God and die. You see, there's a difference there in the how you're building your life. What are you maintaining? So don't wait till the storm comes. Now, if you're in the middle of the storm, it's the right thing to do to seek God. It's the right thing to do to get back in church. Yes, absolutely. By all means, as quick as possible, do all of that. But for those of you that are not in the storm right now, listen, don't wait till the storm comes before you check your foundation and build on your foundation. I'm going to tell you, the more I thought about this week, for me personally, I was like, man, Jesus, you are just getting all over me right now. Because I know, I mean, for me, I don't know about you, I think I do, but for me, it is all too easy to go through seasons of neglecting my foundation because I've just got so many responsibilities on the surface. And that's a dangerous place to be. We can't neglect. So how do you build this foundation? How do you not neglect it? Let me give you three practical suggestions. Number one, make God your foundation. Really and truly, reorient your life and return back to saying, God is going to be the foundation of who I am. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, in this very sermon, in Matthew's account, in Matthew 6, Jesus essentially tells us the secret to this when he says, the way you make God your foundation is in the private places of your life. Here's what he would say. He would say, don't be like a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is somebody who's doing stuff on the surface, but they don't really have a deep foundation. He says, don't be like that. What do hypocrites do? He said, hypocrites pray, they sure do, but they pray on the street corners. They pray to be seen of men. They pray all these wordy prayers so that people will pat them on the back and say how spiritual and religious that they are. And he says, you know what? Don't be like that. He says, when you pray, go into the secret place. Go into your inner closet where nobody's going to see, because it's there that you're getting down to your foundation. Because you're getting in that dark closet, just you and God, and you're saying, God, I need to be very serious about being one with you. So when you get in that place, you're making God your foundation. You're spending time in prayer and connection with Him. He says, whenever you fast, don't disfigure your garments and your face and dishevel your hair so that people say, oh, look how spiritual he is. He hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. He's devoted to God. How great is that? He says, no, whenever you fast, you do it, you clean yourself up, and on the surface, you look like everything's just normal. But deep down, you know what you're devoting yourself to God, how you're devoting yourself to God. You see, make God your foundation. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, this is a verse we know very well, but I love the way the Message renders it. Hebrews 11, 1, listen to this. Faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Listen to it again. Faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. So the first suggestion is, maybe you need to recognize that everything in life is going to change, but there's one thing that will never change, and that is God Himself. So if I found my life on the rock of the unchanging nature of God, and I'm devoting myself in the private places to feeding my spirit in my relationship with Him through prayer and fasting and meditation and contemplation and reading of Scripture and talking with the Father and worship to Him, if I do that, then I'm making God my foundation on something that no matter what happens on the surface, it will stand firm. Secondly, remember what matters most. What matters most in life is love. Jesus was clear about this. Somebody came to Him and said, what's the most important commandment? He said, love. Love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. It's the most important. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6, Paul essentially says, what really matters is love. That's what really matters. You know, what can happen to you and me oftentimes is the demands of life on the surface cause us to neglect the most important relationships around us. So, you want to get consumed with your job or consumed with what you have to do and end up neglecting the relationship you have with your spouse or the relationship you have with your kids or the relationship you have with God, then your life is going to not be founded on the rock. You've got to remember what matters most, because at the day of judgment, God is not going to say, well, how well did you perform? How well did you accumulate things and accomplish things? Ultimately, if love is what matters most, God is going to say, I put you on earth to learn how to love. Did you love? Or did you, because of all the demands on the surface, push away those people in your life? Because you know what happens? When we get stressed, when we have all the demands that are placed on us in life, you know what we tend to skimp on? We tend to skimp on our relationships. We all do. But if I'm going to be a wise builder, I'm going to reorient myself and say, I'm not going to lose sight of the reason why I was put on this planet was to learn how to love well. And I'm not going to let other things crowd that out. Number three, gather the right companions. Do you realize that your life is most impacted by the people that are around you? I'm just becoming more and more convinced of this the older I get. I mean, I know we tell our kids, we tell teenagers, you know, be careful of the friends that you make because they'll have an influence on you. But I'm going to tell you what, us as adults, we're not exempt from that. It's just as true for us as it is of anybody that's younger. The people you associate with will either help steer you in a more Godward direction or they will steer you away from a Godward direction. And so it is so important that we make sure that we gather the right companions around us that will encourage us to build our lives on a foundation that is deep. And if we do, then we've got a core that is strong enough to be able to build relationships with people that don't know Christ and don't know Jesus, to be a light for them, because we will not be swayed by them because we've got such a strong core where our foundation is deep, that we can actually be a light of influence to the world around us. So I think these are three practical suggestions of what we need to do to maybe build a stronger foundation is by making God the foundation, by remembering what matters most, and that is love for people, and gathering the right companions. So as we draw this to a close, this sermon, Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, this entire sermon series, Jesus ends this teaching with a bang. Because he's not doing what we do. We teach this little song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock," and we want our kids to remember that verse, and that's great, and I'm not being critical of that. But as adults, we need to realize this is not a happy little song where we all fall down and we laugh and then we get back up and we sing the second verse. He says, if you don't build your life wisely and dig deep and maintain and build the spiritual core of who you are, he says, when the storm comes and you've lived foolishly on the surface, there will be a collapse. And he says, and that collapse will cause total ruin. Total ruin. And therefore he says, don't just hear what I'm teaching. I'm teaching this to you to go and put it into practice so you dig deep, so you'll withstand the storm and be my people, God's new people, that are living different than the world lives, because everybody around you is fixated on living a life on the surface of demands, responsibilities, and appearances. And the thing about it is, you can look at two people, and from the outside looking in, you can't tell the difference because the foundation is hidden from view from everybody except God and yourself, because you know deep down whether or not you're neglecting your foundation or not. So I pray to God that all of us will leave this teaching from Jesus today and will seriously think, what am I doing with my life? Am I just frivolously spending it, or am I building and digging deep on a foundation that will last through the storm? I encourage us all to think about that very soberly and very intentionally. And let's make something great out of our lives with God's help. Let's found our lives on Him so that no matter what comes, our lives will stand. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus this morning and surrender your life in repentance and baptism. Maybe you need prayers. Maybe you're like, man, that's been very convicting for me, and I just need some help and encouragement from my brothers and sisters. We'd like to pray with you. Our shepherds would like to pray with you in private if you need that in the library, if we can help you. Let's all stand together, and we'll sing, and you can come forward if you have any need.